Chicago, the big city on the lake, the city that works, the hog butcher to the world, and a city of neighborhoods, 77 neighborhoods we intend to talk about, like tonight. Let's go to Old Town. Old Town is right in the heart of the north side of Chicago, a stone's throw from River North and Lincoln Park. North Avenue is the main thoroughfare, North and Wells, North and Clark, all the way down to Division. It's home to Second City, Zanies, and the Latin School. It's also home to Cabrini Green, or what's left of it. The public housing project was a mainstay in Old Town. The high rises were torn down a few years back, but some of the low row houses still are lived in. Politically, Old Town is the second ward, a hodgepodge, gerrymandered ward run by Alderman Brian Hopkins. The second includes parts of Bucktown, Lincoln Park, and downtown Chicago, Michigan Avenue. What? It also includes the mega project, Lincoln Yards. But for all the talk of mega projects and development, we can't forget about the counterculture past of this neighborhood. This was the epicenter of hippie culture in the 50s and 60s. Our little Haight-Ashbury. You could tell by the bars and bazaars that used to line Wells Street. I say used to because they're all but gone. Except for one place, the Old Town Ale House. That's where I met Bruce Elliott to talk all things Old Town. How do I describe Bruce? Not quite the owner, but not the owner. He's the face of the Old Town Ale House, thanks to his presence and his paintings all over the wall. Yes, this is the bar with the naked Sarah Palin. But Bruce is not just an artist. He's a Chicago spokesperson and a world-class troublemaker. He came to the neighborhood 50-plus years ago, and he's still sitting at the bar, a bar that provides the perfect backdrop to talk about the past, present, and future of Old Town. All right, Bruce, I can't think of a better person to talk to about Old Town. When did you move to this neighborhood?
I think you mean older person.
When did you move it to this area?
I moved to Old Town when I was 21 years old in 1961 and had my first legal drink in this bar. At the time, this bar was across the street from here.
1961, when you think of, I think of Old Town, I think of the 60s. I think this was sort of an epicenter for counterculture. And that's why I think a lot of people still think of Old Town, although it might be a little different today.
It's quite different. Well, for a kid, I mean, I was just a kid. But coming into the neighborhood, it had everything. I mean, you had, you know, you're right by the lake, you're right by the parks, you could walk downtown, but my first girlfriend and I, we had an apartment right down the street from here, a little two-bedroom for $55 a month. I remember the first time I ever paid $100 a month for rent. Well, I didn't really pay it, but I thought it was the end of the world. There was no parking meters, and there was only like three or four bars in the neighborhood, too, at the time. And you could live for nothing, a stein of light beer at the Old Town Ale House was 25 cents.
I think of all the institutions. I mean, Second City still stands over Piper's Alley. This still
stands.
Well,
Second City at the time was at Wisconsin. It moved down a few years after I moved here.
But the institutions in this area, you could still see remnants of what it was in the 60s.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, Second City was huge then. So it's just a lot bigger now. Yeah, the neighborhood was filled with everybody. You had the old gangs. You had a Lebanese gang, the Solomon brothers, who ended up over at the Lincoln Hotel running a juice operation. Dennis Farina's big brother, was like the toughest guy in the neighborhood. And plus, you had, before they widened North Avenue, you had all these old German bars. You threw four right across the street. And they were just, I mean, they were great. Patty Baller, the legendary 43rd Ward Alderman, his bar was right over the corner.
You said a couple times now that, as we sit right here on North Avenue, you see now it's two lanes both ways. That was really the turning point for this neighborhood when they widened,
it was really the end of what we know as Old Town. That was like a wall. There was all kinds of racial things happening. I remember in the early 60s, at the time it was called Old Town Gardens, and now it's Marshall Field Apartments. It's a two or three block housing complex over there. The first black person that moved in was Billy Williams when he was on the Cubs. And then the demographics just changed rapidly. And then Wells Street became commercialized, and you had all kinds of crazy stuff going on over there, one gimmick thing after another. And the movie theater before they widened North Avenue, they turned it into a strip theater. I mean, strip TC. So yeah, it kind of really went through some wild.
It's a neighborhood, I think, that politically, I've read about it. I mean, this used to be the epicenter of the counterculture movement, the yippies and the hippies.
In fact, really, it was. It was Greenwich Village in New York, Old Town in Chicago, North Beach in San Francisco. There was just kind of this revolving people. Because you'd go to San Francisco, you'd bump into a whole bunch of people here. I'd go to the Lower East Side of the Village in New York, I'd bump into, you'd just bump
so
into
So what happened? Why is it? I don't think of Old Town that
money,
way anymore.
Money. Once, we're doing great, but we don't have our regulars because they either died, their livers gave out, or they can't afford to live down here anymore.
Yeah, right.
So it's I don't see nearly as many regulars.
When it comes to politics, I mean, this was sort of, you really got a vibe that this was a neighborhood that was trying to affect change. Today, it seems to be more of, went for Rahm Emanuel, a city block that is probably more about the families and the condo buildings that are up and down these side streets than it is about anything we're talking about in history.
Oh, yeah. I don't think the people that build these million-dollar houses on the street come in here. I don't think that we're their Democrats.
What if you were going to talk to somebody out of town, run into somebody from Lower East Side and say, and they're like, what's Old Town like today? Well, how would you explain it?
It's probably not a whole lot different than Lincoln Park. It's expensive. It's really expensive. And this bar is just one of the last vestiges of what it used to be like. I mean, you walk into one of these bars on Wall Street, there's 25 large screen TVs. I mean, there's a bunch of kids. Now and here, you walk in, and the average age at the bar on a normal night is probably 40, 50 years old.
In here?
Yeah.
Really?
But that's not typical for what's going on here.
And I've always liked this area, and my time at Second City, the Old Town Ale House was a spot. Why is this place still up and running when you look up and down?
Pure accident. It's so many people had to screw up in one way or another, and when the building went condo, everybody laughed at the previous owners, Art and B. Klug. They thought, oh, God, you don't know. There's no such thing as a condo bar. Well, if we were now paying $15,000 a month rent, this would not be here.
Yeah, this wouldn't be, right.
So just by pure ineptitude or luck, it's still here.
This area as well, when you talk about crime, I'll see once in a while on the news, you'll see some shootings. And it's in the air over by the Sedgwick
Well, we had a shooting in front of the bar.
What is it about Old Town? Do you consider this to be a safe neighborhood?
I think it's every bit as safe as Streeterville or Lincoln Park. I mean, there's no purely safe neighborhoods anymore. Sedgwick Street has a crime. You know, they tore down tearing down Cabrini Green was huge. But what happened then, a lot of the gang kids and families moved into what are called Marshfield Apartments. And so Sedgwick Street is probably, you know, there's drugs and crime, but I don't know how long that's going to last because people have spent a lot of money developing that neighborhood, so you have to wonder. I'm sure the boys at City Hall have got it all figured out already.
Well, you mentioned Cabrini Green. Read the history of in the the 60s and 70s in Chicago and Old Town. Cabrini Green was a big part of it. Do you sense that's a bygone era? Obviously, it's shut down.
Oh,
but
no, it's a bygone. And I think one thing, Richie Daley accomplished very little other than making the parking meters a nightmare in this town. But one thing he did accomplish, he planted more trees than the park district could destroy a year. And he did tear down most of these. His father was all
right
into those,
all about the big high-rise
horizontal slums. And he did most of that is gone. And it was really a horrible place. I mean, it was terrible for the people. I mean, I knew kids that grew up there that were afraid to go out. So now, of course, that's, you know, been totally yuppified over there.
That seems to be the thread with this neighborhood, is yuppified.
Yeah.
To think, you know, I saw today that Paul Krasner died.
And I'll tell you something about Krasner.
Yeah.
During the 68 Democratic Convention, I was living at the time in Berkeley, but I came in just for that. And I remember, I think it was Monday, and at the big Sunday, they had the big Sunday riot out there, a police riot. Monday, I was out there with a friend of mine named Lazar. We were poked around. He was taking pictures and stuff. So we decided to come over here about 5 for a beer. and walked in the door. He had a camera. I still never forgive him for not taking this picture. Sitting at the bar was Jean Genet, Norman Mailer, Jose Torres, the boxing, former light heavyweight boxing, Allen Ginsberg, Paul Krasner, Gregory Corso, and Abby Hoffman was there. That was the Old Town Ale House. That's a picture that, boy,
You'd love to have that.
You know, Krasner was really the brains behind Hoffman and Jerry Rubin. I mean, he let them be the frontman, but he was really that, and the realist was really a great.
You know, to think about it, and everyone always focuses on the 68 convention, and obviously, you know, that being a monumental part of history, but it was the next year, which we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Days of Rage, where Old Town was a big part of that.
When they broke off from SD, when it got a little bit more real. except it really wasn't real. It was a bunch of parlor pinkies took over SDS, because we had the only... Over at Larrabee, the only, I think, non-college affiliated SDS chapter in the country. And I only found out years later we were a Progressive Labor Front group. I always wondered how we could have where the money came to pay the rent and stuff. But, I bumped into somebody in Berkeley. I said, I never understood how we could sponsor the baseball teams and all that stuff. He said, well, are you kidding? We were a Progressive Labor Front group. They would pay for it. We're getting money from China.
Right?
We're getting money from China. But I remember National Headquarters was over on 63rd Street, right by Stoney. The leaders that became the Weathermen, Ayers and Dornan, and all those people, we called them parlor pinkies. They were all from rich families, and they were all just kind of... So then they played radical and revolution. Right. I don't think they ever did any time either.
I think about it as a time here we sit in this bar, and this bar has such great vibes and great memories, but I think about Chicago... Can there be a progressive neighborhood? You know, when you think about what Old Town was in the late 60s.
Hyde Park was, and probably in a way still is. I think I live there now, and there's still that because of the university. I mean, it's also produced Milton Friedman and, who kind of advised the Juntas and all. But Hyde Park, I still would say, would be the closest thing. No, I wouldn't say so.
To think about all the people who have come through this bar, to think about all of the history that Chicago centers around the Old Town Ale House and Old Town, the neighborhood, is it just a history lesson at this point? People coming through here, could you do a walking tour and be able to point to the different things, or is it now just flat screen bars and the Old Town Ale House?
There still are walking tours. There's still plenty to see here. It's still quite interesting, and especially when you get on the north side of North Avenue, they still have the old Town Triangle, and the original Old Town Art Fair is kind of cool. I mean, there's a lot.
Where do you see, when you've been sitting at this bar for as long as you have, where do you see this neighborhood going next? Just going to be a bigger, more expensive Lincoln Park, or will it retain some of its charm?
I think it will retain some of its charm. I think they've made the Triangle area historical, so they're not going to be able to tear it down. So there will be that, and its proximity to the park, and hopefully this bar will prevail, because it certainly kind of holds a lot of the old element together.
This bar, I think it holds a special place in a lot of Chicagoans' heart. I mean, this is one of the bars that everybody at any point in their life living in Chicago has come through. You got to feel pretty good about that.
Oh, we do. It's a fun thing. I mean, after Anthony Bourdain did a couple of shows here, we get people from all over the world. I mean, it used to be on holidays, like the 4th of July weekend, everybody would be leaving town, our customers. But now we get people from all over the place. I mean, I had two Egyptian doctors. The first place they came to Chicago was the Old Town Ale House because they were fans of Anthony Bourdain.
I love it.
So, yeah, I think that the really meet interesting people. I mean, it's filled. I had two great Irishmen the other night. The first place they came was here. They were hilarious, just absolutely hilarious.
Bruce, thanks for talking to us about the Old Town Ale House and the neighborhood, and great to see you.
Nice to see you.
Yeah.